or excuse me, Barnabas was still with them. They were busy in meeting and planting and doing the work of God. This was a particular time when they came back to Antioch and reported what has been happening. As they reported, they shared some things that we need to hear too. Take a look at verse number 21. That's where we want to start. At verse number 21 and following down to verse number 28. Just follow along and I'll read for us tonight, Acts chapter 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. The Bible says in verse number 22, the Apostle Paul and his team says they were confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. If they were going to continue to serve the Lord in missions and God's going to use his church, he said, I want you to consider this, continue in the faith, persevere and endure. Why do we keep coming to church week after week after week? Why do we keep doing the same things for the Lord week after week after week? You know, it can become a monotonous thing if we don't see God's hand in it. If we don't consider that this is something that God can use today. Here's an example of someone, a man's life, that illustrates persistence and perseverance and faithfulness in the end as well. At the age of 22, he was a failure in business, and everybody in town knew it. At the age of 23, he thought he'd try his hand at politics. He ran for legislator and lost. Again, at 24, he thought he'd go back and start another business. That failed too. At the age of 25, he eventually made it to the legislature. He had a bout of discouragement and depression at age 27, and he was defeated in Congress when he was 34. He was elected back into Congress at age 37. He was defeated again 2 years later at age 39. He ran for Senate at 46 years old, and he lost that too. He then, at that time in our history, you could actually run for vice president. Now, this was part of the political process many years ago. And at age 47, he lost that too. At age 49, he decided he'd try again at the Senate, lost again. But when he turned 51 years old, he was elected president of the United States. Does anybody know who it was? Abraham Lincoln. Perseverance, persistence, faithfulness. The Bible says the Apostle Paul exhorted the churches to continue in the faith. I'd like to look at some thoughts here tonight. Reasons why we must continue in the faith. Reasons why we must continue in the faith that God puts in his word. He shows us, here's something to consider when you get up next Sunday morning, or when you come Wednesday night, or when this next ministry comes about this week. However the Lord uses you, consider some of these things tonight. And this is a missionary's message. This is not mine. This is the missionary Paul that he shares with us through scriptures many years ago. So let's ask God's help before we go any further. Would you bow with me and I'll ask his help, and then we'll continue on from there. Lord, we thank you for the ability to do things for you, Father. That's only because of you and your grace, and your strength. And Lord, I pray, help us not to forget the importance of faithfulness. Even tonight as we study your word, Lord, perhaps there's one just figuring out, trying to do right and why, and I pray your word would give us some answers for that tonight. And Lord, I pray that faithfulness would be part of our Christian walk, but with the idea that it's for you, it's for your glory, it's for the glory of our Savior, and in the power of the Spirit of God. May you get the glory tonight as we look in your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why must we continue in the faith? Number one. Because Eaton Rapids still has needy souls. Yes. Eaton Rapids, Charlotte, Lansing, where we live, has needy souls. Yes. Notice verse 21 again. The Bible says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra." The Bible tells me that I can reach my hometown by simply being willing to talk about Jesus. About Jesus. What made a difference between these guys when they walked through a market of a bunch of people and everybody else? They began to talk about Jesus. Something came out. It wasn't just the way they looked. It wasn't just the money they spent or the things that they had in their possession or whatever. It was because something came out of their mouth about the Lord Jesus. Take a look at Acts chapter 20. Would you go there with me, please? Just a few pages over in the scriptures. I can reach my hometown by talking about Jesus. Now, obviously, there's many other things that we can do, but that's the basic theme, the idea in sharing and reaching our town. Chapter 20, verse number 20, if you would look there, please. Acts 20, 20 and 21. And would you read these with me? Verse 20 and 21 of Acts chapter 20. Let's read them together. "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible here says the Apostle Paul, he's actually speaking to those he had led to the Lord, other ministers that he thought, this will be our final time. We won't be able to see each other again. And he says, I've strived to be faithful. Many of you know, you remember I came to your house and I taught you publicly and I taught from house to house and shared about Jesus Christ. I want you to focus in on this phrase, "and have taught you publicly." Publicly. There was a time when the Apostle Paul, he spoke outright publicly as well as privately, house to house, about the Lord Jesus. Pray that God would use you and me to talk about Jesus in our town. Yes. That's praise God, we have a building we can call our church home, and there's freedom here. We have nothing that stops us from talking about the Lord, but it seems like we get out that door, and man, everything is seemingly in the way of when we need to talk about the Lord. I reach my hometown by talking about Jesus, and I reach my hometown as well by living like Jesus, as well as living like Jesus, my marriage and family, the place and way I work, putting God's word and making it a primary part of my day, prayer, and not just the rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub kind of prayer. Prayer that truly gets into the throne of God and asks his help. Coming to church and building godly character. Remember when they used to tell us in Sunday school how to build godly character? Did you know that's still good today? Amen. It's still true today. That if we want to help reach people for Christ, we want to show them who the Lord is, it's got to be part of our character too. At least striving and looking to see what God can do through us. Why do we need to be faithful? Because Eaton Rapids still has needy souls. Yes. If you look in the, I don't know if you can look in the phone book anymore. Do we have phone books anymore in Eaton Rapids?
No.
I don't know, Charlie, you know. Well, if you look on the internet, the source of all truth, you find, I think, last I counted was 12 houses of worship in Eaton Rapids. Eaton Rapids, 12. And yet there's still many, if you walk out and go door to door, there's still many who have no idea what Jesus could do for them. And God can use us if we're willing to talk about him and reach our town. Missionary wants us to do that. Certainly the Lord does too. Let's continue on. Verse number 21. Let's go back to Acts chapter 14. Take a look again, verse 21 here. He says, "confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 21 again says that he preached the gospel and had taught many, and they returned to the churches there in Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, etc. Here's another reason to be faithful in our walk with Christ, because Grace Baptist Church still has needy Christians. Grace Baptist Church still has needy Christians. If you're born again tonight, let me ask you, do you have needs? Do you have needs? Or have they all been taken care of? And man, by the way, if you know the way, how to take care of that, I'd like to talk to you later on. Seeing Joe and Isaac back there reminded me of a story about an Army chaplain. Army, you know, they're terrible. Anyway, Army chaplain, unless you were Brother Thompson, he was the best Army man, that was the had over a sign over his door: if you need help, come in and see me. If you don't need help, come in and tell me how you did it. That's where we're at sometimes. You know, we act like, man, we've got it all together. But man, God knows better, doesn't he? God knows the deepest parts of our heart that live in fear or anger or sorrow or bitterness. He knows all those things. God wants to see us grow. And even in Grace Baptist Church, the great and mighty Grace Baptist Church, there's needy Christians here. And I can tell you, if that doesn't include you, that definitely includes me. What do we need? Again, verse number 21 tells us we need to be taught. We need to learn the Bible. He says in verse 21, I went around, shared the gospel, and taught many, opened up the scriptures, and shared with them the truth. Romans 15, take a look there. Romans chapter 15. And look at verse number 4 with me, please. Would you read that with me? Verse number 4 of Romans chapter 15. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. How does your hope about the future go? How does it continue to be hope? Man, if you've been watching the news lately, you're wondering, what do people hope in? Honestly, they thought they were insulated from a lot of the things that go on out in the ocean. And then in South Carolina and Georgia and North Carolina, people are still trying to find where their homes and family members are. We're trying to wonder who's gonna be in control of this country, who's gonna be leading this country in the next few weeks. Well, I can tell you it's the same one who's been in control of it ever since it started. God's still in control, amen. Does that mean we're gonna get everything we want? We're gonna get everything that would please and honor him? I encourage you to pray that way, by the way. Pray for the people who would honor God. I think we talked about that last week. Pray that the people who would honor God would get in those positions and ask the Lord for help that way. God can use it, but he says he wants us to continue to be taught, that our hope would continue to grow. There's no doubt I'm going to see Jesus in the clouds someday. How about you? Yeah, because you've been reading about it in the Bible and you've been asking God's help in different things. We need to learn the Bible. We need, number two, to copy Jesus. We need to copy Jesus. Look at verse number 22 again, back in the book of Acts. He says this, confirming the souls of the disciples. The disciples. Disciple means student or learner, and here it means a learner of Jesus Christ, a learner of doing what Jesus would have him do. Are you a disciple tonight? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? You know him and you follow him. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, verse 2, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Who is it we're supposed to be like? That godly grandmother? Praise the Lord for her. But that's not the person we're supposed to be like. How about our favorite speaker in the world that God used and maybe used in a mighty way to help us draw close to Christ? No. Or maybe that humble servant of the Lord who's a blessing to everybody. No, we're supposed to be like Jesus, amen. Every one of those folks, if they not love the Lord, every one of them would say, I'm not worthy to be like, we need to be like Jesus. And he says all through the scriptures in the New Testament, be as Christ would be where you're at. We need to copy Jesus. Yes. We need to do and say what he would say in every area of our life. Verse 22 goes on to say we need to live by faith. Take a look at verse 22 again, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. We like the faith part. We don't like the tribulation part, do we? And we learned this morning that God can use tribulation as a furnace to help separate our things that are in our life that should be gone or should stay. All right, this is the thing that's in my life. I got to work on my tongue. I got to work on where I cast my eyes. I got to work on, you know, how I deal with people or whatever. These are things that God wants me to consider. We need to live by faith. Hebrews 11:6, if you know it, say it with me. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you seek the Lord, guess what? And ask him for increased faith, guess what he wants to do? He wants to answer that. Remember the disciples went to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. And what did he do? He increased their faith. Now, it didn't look like it right away, did it? Remember when he went to the trial? Where were all the disciples then? Are they down here? Are they in that door? They couldn't be found. They had all separated. They had all run out on him. But man, a few weeks later, wow, you couldn't stop them. You couldn't stop them from going to the temple and telling everybody that Jesus rose again. Wow. That's God's hand when you ask for increased faith. 2 Corinthians 5, let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, these are things our missionaries, if they could be here tonight. Now, we had some missionaries, and man, did they preach some great messages. But they want to see, they would ask the Lord to help us to be persevere and faithful in. We need to live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, verse 7, here's what it says. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, what? Not by sight. Not by sight. That seems to be a lifelong struggle, isn't it? To not walk by sight. I look at my bank account and I think, oh, Lord, I need some faith there. We've got some of these things coming up. Or we look at whatever, our house, family situations. We look at whatever's in the future. Lord, we need your faith to get through this because I don't know how. The way I'm working it out, it doesn't work out. But the way God does, he always meets the need. We need to live by faith. And then another thing, in verse 23, let's go back, Acts chapter 14, so number 4. We need more time in the throne room. How do you build your faith? Man, you go give God everything you got. Verse number 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with what? Fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. When you read about prayer and fasting in the scriptures, that's always a combination that's seeking God for specific and special reasons. Here it was to have his hand on these men that have been committed to him and sent out to preach the gospel, to lead and to shepherd and so forth. However God's going to use them, what an amazing time. But you and I need to seek God's face more in the throne room. Colossians 1 verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always, he says, to the Colossians. Ephesians 6, 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, if you run out of things to ask God, why don't you tell him the things that he has done for you? Why don't you thank him for the things he has done for you? How many times have we glossed over that? I can tell you, I'm guilty of that all the time. I ask God for things and then a long time goes by and I realize God did answer that. Wow. And I was not willing to thank him. Go back and thank him. A moment in the morning, ere the cares of day begin, ere the heart's wide door is open for the world to enter in. Oh, then alone with Jesus in the silence of the morn, in heavenly sweet communion, let your joyful day be born. We need time in the throne room of God. What a privilege to talk to the God of heaven, the God who created everything, the God who knows every detail of our life from here to eternity. Why not ask his help and show him the next thing to do? Another thing, number five, we need real surrender to the Lord Jesus. Take a look at verse number 23 again. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. These are the men that were being commended or ordained to the ministry there at the time. And the word commended simply means this, to hand over, to deliver to surrender. Not because we are defeated, but because we know who the greatest is, who's the one who has all the strength and the might. Pastor was telling me one time about his son who had all these action figures. How many know what action figures are? They're not dolls. They are not toys. They are action figures, all right? And I remember I had a Steve Austin action figure. Some of you have no idea who that was. $1 million man. Today it'd be like the $100 trillion man. That's how much inflation was. Anyway, action figures. These guys that are, you know, they're pictures of, they're illustrations of, you know, strong men, women, etc., and can be used in various adventures. And he was telling me his son has all these action figures, and he set them up like army guys, you know. I don't know how many. It sounded like maybe 20 or 30, all in a big area, all looking towards him, all prepared to attack in this scenario. And then he has another action figure, only one, and it's his favorite. This action figure has no arms. This action figure has an eyeball out. And you guys know who I'm talking about, don't you? He must say this all the time everywhere he goes. This action figure looked like it belonged in the garbage, but it was his son's favorite. So as he got up there, he watched his son playing this scenario out. His son had that piece of garbage action figure in his hand, and he looked down at all those other guys, and he went, boom, 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 knocked them down. Yeah, the winner. What was the difference between this action figure and all the others that were on the floor? This one was in the hand that had the most strength. This is the one that had somebody behind him that could direct and could win the battle. Friends, you and I'm here to tell you, if we don't surrender to God, we're going to wish we had. We're going to wish we had, because God's hand is greater than anything. His desire is that we are in his hand, amen, in his hand. Now, he does not, and when I say that, I don't mean he lets us go and we lose salvation. No way, no way. God's clear about that. Jesus even said, no man will pluck me out of my Father's hand, no one will pluck you out of my Father's hand, and my hand either, because of your faith and belief in me. But we can get off the path, we can get away from the shield, we can start acting like we're the ones who've got the right answers instead of the Lord. And man, we're going to fall somewhere. We're going to fall somewhere. God says he wants you and I. We need real surrender. Why do we need to be faithful? Because Grace Baptist Church still has needy Christians. Number three, let's go back to Acts chapter 14. Take a look at verse 26 and through 28 here again. That was Pastor Doug Jackson, by the way, and he has a son with special needs, but he calls him a super Christian, my super Christian Clint, and he's a blessing to hear talk about that. Number three, take a look, verse number 26 and 27, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. They enjoyed that fellowship together. Number three, why do we need to continue to be faithful? Because our praise needs to glorify God. Our praise needs to glorify God. They rehearsed all that God had done with them. Now the Apostle Paul, remember, he was a learned man. He probably had much of the Old Testament, at least the first five books of the Old Testament, probably memorized. He was a brilliant man. He had sat at the feet of brilliant teachers in Israel at the time. And he was a man who was sold out to the Lord. But he said, this wasn't my strength that got anything done. This just wasn't, you know, and in fact, it wasn't even my plan. We just followed the Holy Spirit. And we did what God said to do. Our praise needs to glorify God, the Lord God, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and not lift any others up. Yes, recognize hard work, absolutely. Give encouragement and so forth. Thank you for the job you did. But make sure that it's praise that is reflected at best to God alone, because it belongs to Him. Verse 26 and 27 tells us our Heavenly Father is gracious to us. We sailed to Antioch, he said, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfill. All of us, if you know Christ tonight, all of us have been recipients of the grace of God. And it makes me think of that song. The most famous song about grace is Amazing Grace. We're not going to sing it, by the way. That's not what I'm going to do. But I'd like to talk to you about a moment of John Newton, who was a pastor for many years after he got saved. He authored that song. He was a converted slave trader. You may have known that. Near the end of his life, and it sounds like it was just maybe days, if not weeks before he passed away, a young minister came to see him and expressed deep regret at the prospect of losing such a well-known laborer for Christ. John Newton had become somewhat of a celebrity. He had written thousands of hymns. Some of them became more famous than others, of course, which was pretty normal for hymn writers at the time. But he was at the last of his time on earth. The old preacher said this, "True, I'm going on before you, but you'll soon come after me. When you arrive, our friendship will no doubt cause you to inquire for me, but I can tell you already where you'll most likely find me. I'll be sitting by the feet of the thief whom Jesus saved in his dying moments on the cross. Together, we'll be gazing on the shining face of our Savior." Amen. Wow. That's an understanding of what grace really is. I did nothing to get here. Jesus paid it all. Wow. You know, we need to get that same passion back, that same understanding of God's grace, especially when we're gathered together. Folks, there should be no fighting among us, amen? Right. Because we're all saved. We're beggars who were shown the bread. And by the grace of God, we received it, and he gave us eternal life. And then the Bible shares with us in verse 28, and they abode long time with the disciples. They wouldn't have done that if they didn't share God's grace with one another. Our church family is gracious to us. We can praise God for that. Philippians chapter 1. Let's go there. Philippians chapter 1, and we'll close with this. Philippians chapter 1. And take a look at verse number 27. Philippians 1, 27. Let's read that together. Would you read that with me as well? Philippians 1, verse 27. Let's begin. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Striving together, not against each other. God says he wants our church family, every church family, to share grace with one another. Yes. We saw it this morning when we read about the language. I think Wednesday night we read that. On Wednesday night, if you can come, join us. Yeah, if you're an adult, we're looking at the Ten Commandments and how God can use them in the Christian walk today. It's been very helpful to me personally, and invite everybody to come. But this last one was the Third Commandment. Anybody remember the Third Commandment? Those who were here Wednesday night, you can speak it out too if you want. Thou shalt not take the Lord, name of the Lord thy God in vain, which opens up the understanding and the teaching about our tongue. God says he wants you and I to speak with one another with grace to the hearers. That's what he says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, that we speak with edifying one another with grace for the hearer. Our church family is gracious to us. That's something to glorify God. Amen. Yeah. That's something to glorify God. That's not something to say, our church is better than them. That should not be our attitude, folks, because again, we're still beggars who need the bread of God, the bread of life. Our church is not as good as them. Well, I think we can go around and find all kinds of things to compare to, but God says he wants you and I to look to him, to look to him. We have the same God. Every church that preaches the gospel and believes in this book right here, in the Savior Jesus Christ, they look to the same God that you and I do. Yes. Amen? Amen? It's the same God. Same God who can bless, the same God who can correct, it's the same God who loves, it's the same God who can discipline, it's the same God who can help us understand what's going on, who can mend and heal. That's the God we serve. And through Jesus Christ, we can see it happen. If you could find a perfect church without one fault or smear, for goodness sake, don't join that church. You'll spoil the atmosphere. If you should find a perfect church, I advise that you don't dare to tread upon such holy ground, you might not fit in there. But since no perfect church exists, which houses imperfect men, then let's cease looking for that church and love the one we're in. Hey, let's ask God to help us be faithful. Amen. Yeah. To be faithful. Our missionaries appreciate it. Our missionaries appreciate it. We have seen recently in the last year, those that are regularly at our church know, we've seen some missionaries come off the field for whatever reasons. They are not there in that place of ministry. They are still serving the Lord, and I know they're going to continue to do that. But I wonder, and I don't think they'll say this, but I wonder if there was just too many days that they were discouraged. If there was too many days that they tried to do what they asked God to help them do, and it just didn't work out. And they saw that, well, things aren't just working here. I don't know. But I know a missionary would come here and ask us, let's stay in the path of faithfulness. Yeah. And let's have a reason why we do it. Not just to say, hey, we're the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's only Jesus. Amen. We're doing it because there's still needy souls in Eaton Rapids and need to hear from us. We're doing it because as a Christian, we still have needs ourselves. We need to learn. We need to grow. We need to call on God together. And we're still doing it because our praise, instead of glorifying ourselves or somebody else, needs to praise God, needs to get to that point where it's all the Lord. It's not us. Lord, help us to be faithful. Lord, help us to continue in the faith as the Apostle Paul so many years ago encouraged these churches, dear Lord. I ask God that you would help us to see in our own walk in life, is there an area we have stopped being faithful in? Or is there an area or a reason why we're doing things routinely instead of for the motives that you give us for our Savior? Lord, I pray, help us to look into our own heart. Search us, O God. See if there be something that needs to be brought to you, whether it be wicked or just needs to be made right. We ask for your help tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're able, would you stand? Just a moment, I'll ask the piano to softly play the song. We'll sing. But maybe God's speaking to you tonight, an area that faithfulness needs to grow in your own walk. Perhaps it's just getting up tomorrow morning and opening up the scriptures, meeting with your Heavenly Father. Perhaps it's that time of prayer and really getting things out before God and His throne room, whatever it may be. Maybe just simply talking about Jesus. You can ask God, give me that burden and open up the doors. Whatever the Lord would have, would you respond as she begins to play right where you're at or up front to call on God?